give a massive Life Church welcome to Pastor Matt as he comes to bring the word.
Thanks so much. Hey, hey, Brisbane North. We need to, I need to employ Pastor Ben just to come with me wherever I go, just to like introduce me to friends. That's the nicest introduction I've ever received. You're looking amazing today. Take your seats. My family and I are really, really excited to be here today because, oh, Mia, that's, I started off too loud. We're so excited to be here today because we love being a part of what Life Church is doing, but there's something really special about doing something brand new. And I just wanted to encourage all of you today that what you're doing here by being here in this building is that in the Bible, a lot of people wrongly refer to the church, think of the church as a building. But the church is a collective of people doing something together. And what that you're doing collectively on the north side of Brisbane is incredible. And you just prayed, I hope it didn't, I don't want to gloss over, we just prayed for a miracle building for this location. And that building is not so that we can have a cool building and, oh, we're at, you know, blah, blah, blah address. It is so that people, just like everyone here, can hear about the love and the grace and the power of Jesus. And what you're doing together is incredible. And I just wanted to encourage you. And I'm often, Ben correctly said, we've been at Life Church, Karina and I and our family, we've been at Life Church, we'll be 4 years in January. Ben was actually the second person that I ever met at Life Church. The first person who's been here at Brisbane North that Karina and I first met ever at church was Saskia and Saskia Hill. And after that, I'm like, oh, she's lovely. And then I literally saw this guy out of the corner of my eye. And this is why I love the heart of Ben and Emily. And we'd just finished talking to Saskia and I could see that someone was like quickly. And if I was completely honest, I'm like, even though I do love people, I'm a little bit of an introvert. I'm like, I don't want to talk to like 84 people today. I just want to come to church for the first time and see if I like it and see if I want to stay. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this guy walking over and it was Ben. And straight away, we'd literally been talking for 10 seconds and I'm like, I'm going to be really, really good friends with that guy. And that's the heart of Ben and Emily for people, that they see people that are looking to step up, to take their next step. And to be honest, I was never, ever looking for a job at church, ever, I can promise you. If you'd asked me what I didn't want to do with my career, it was probably work at church, is to be truthful. But it's funny when you surround yourself with the right people and you lean into what God has for your life, that things can change and things can happen that you don't ever think at all possible. He actually, and we just sang about it, thank you team, those songs were like perfect for what I'd like to talk about today, that God is a way maker and he is a miracle worker, but we just sang that through it all, through fires and storms, I'll be ever praising you. And today we're going to be talking a lot. I want to talk significantly around the power in our praise. And sometimes it's not easy to praise. Our theme for this month across Life Church is bold. Bold as a lion to step out. And one of the hardest things to do when you're not feeling as though you want to be bold and you want to step out is to praise God. And so today I want to speak on a message called Boldly Praising Through Your Problems. If you're taking notes, Boldly Praising Through My Problems. I want to, as Ben mentioned, I used to work at Tennis Australia, and something that I used to do at tennis was MC events. So you'd introduce players onto court, so like the Brisbane International or Australian Open, those type of events. And I just worked 2 weeks at the Brisbane International event, and we'd been introducing players on the court and you're yelling at the end of the matches, you're like trying to G the crowd up. And we'd got to the end of the tournament and I was so tired from those 2 weeks of Brisbane that without knowing it, I was starting to lose my voice. And the problem was that Brisbane had just finished, but we had the Australian Open, which is the most important tournament coming up, about to start. I jump on a flight on the Sunday night, I get to Melbourne on the Monday morning. I'm meant to be emceeing on one of the courts at Melbourne Park, at 11 a.m. I literally go, this is one of the, probably the worst moment of my working career. I literally go to introduce a player onto court and please welcome Samantha Stosur, whatever. And nothing comes out. My voice is empty from 2 weeks of just going over and above. Turns out I had like some strep throat. I couldn't speak for like 4 days and I didn't end up doing that event. But I want to use that illustration that sometimes the enemy knows the power that is in our praise, the power that is in our voice, and the power that is in our words. And often when we're going through hard seasons, the easiest thing it is to be quiet, to retreat, to not make a noise about anything that you're passionate about. And I want to encourage you that wherever you bring praise, God can move. If you praise God in the shower, God can be there. It says in the Bible that wherever two or more are gathered, God can come. Has anyone seen the new Aladdin movie? It was a bit, I was like, I'm still deciding whether I like Will Smith as a genie or not. I thought it was like a crazy good movie, but I'm still deciding. I think the original, I'm like a bit of a stickler for like Disney originals. But I was thinking that just as a concept that literally whenever Aladdin rubbed he rubbed the lamp, the genie showed up. And just like that, and obviously he shows up on 3 occasions, but we have access to that in God. Whenever we praise God, whenever we sing out his name, God can show up. So if you praise God in the shower, he can turn up. If you praise God in the car, he can show up. And it's like, what can I do for you? But are we even asking? Are we singing out? So when are we talking about praising through my problems? Now, I hope you've... we're going to read through a fair bit of Bible this morning if you're following along. It's a fair bit of Bible. So hang in there. If you've already read your Bible this morning, you're going to get like a double gold star because we're going to do 9 verses today. 9 verses in a row and then refer back to this passage as we're chatting through. But just to set up, so if you want to go there, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, reading from verses 17 to 25. But to give you some context, so the current king of Judah at this time is a guy named Jehoshaphat. Not the easiest spelling, not F-A-T, P-H-A-T, Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat's the fourth king of Judah. Up until this point, all of the previous kings of Judah have been corrupt. I think the Bible says the exact words are corrupt, wicked, and lazy. So a pretty good performance review for the three previous. They were corrupt, wicked, and lazy. I'm like, that's good. But Jehoshaphat is remembered as one of the greatest kings of Judah because it says at the end of 2 Chronicles that he leant in and listened to the whisper of God. And he led the army through some amazing victories we're about to lead about, not because of any great might. It actually says that he's a very, very normal person. He became king at the age of 35. He ruled until he was 60. But at this age, he sees a great victory against 3 invading armies. So let's pick up in chapter 17. And when we begin to read, right now, Jehoshaphat has a multitude of problems. And he's gone to the people and to God to say, okay, how are we gonna deal with this? They're surrounded by Moab, by Ammon, and Mount Seir, 3 armies, and they're literally about to be destroyed into oblivion. Let's see how God responds. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. That's a pretty good start. We could stop there. This is God speaking. Position yourselves. Stand still. I say that to my daughter Amaya all the time. Stand still. I know what's best for you right now, and running out onto our street is not a good idea. Stand still. You're on the edge of our pool and it's freezing. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I love that. It's like, I got this, essentially, is what God is saying. Situation looks bad. 3 problems in front of us, but I got you right now. I know it looks like there's no way to overcome this, but I got you. And the Lord is, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the, we'll go with Kehathites, and of the children of the, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Now, there's a huge difference. We were just worshiping and Angela was singing loud and high. You're an incredible worship leader. Now, if I was up here worship leading, I can promise you it wouldn't be loud and it definitely would not be high. But there's a huge difference that, you know, sometimes when you're involved, you're listening to music or you're involved in praise and worship, and you've had a bad week and you're standing there and it's like, Spirit, lead me where my trust is. And then you get up and then you get, there's a song that you like and you get into that loud and high worship. It's a significant difference. But sometimes we need to step out of the natural and say, okay, God, you're bigger than my circumstance right now, and I'm going to praise you no matter what the circumstance is. So they've gone into the loud and high worship, even though the armies were around them. And the reality is, we just read a biblical story like this and we're like, oh yeah, cool story. The reality is these people thought they were about to die. Their families literally think they're about to die. There are three armies. Okay, loud enough. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. This is essentially sending out the praise. And who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures in this season. Or, for his mercy endures in 2019. No, it says in verse 21, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. From literally the beginning of time through to this time, for the generations to come, all the kids that are here to all the kids that are here today, for generation after generation after generation, his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. They're the three surrounding armies who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. All these armies started to turn on each other. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. Jehoshaphat didn't even need to worry about that problem. They literally destroyed themselves. So one army's down. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. It's one of my favorite Bible stories. Final verse, verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. We've already spoken, so the title of my message again is Boldly Praising Through My Problems. Now, you might be thinking this morning that I don't know the start of your problems, and that's true. I don't. I don't know the start of your problems at all, and I'm not naive enough to stand here today and go and think that all your situations are in a good place. But one thing I do know to be true, that whether you're going through a financial crisis, through a health crisis, through a relationship crisis, that you can turn to God. And there is a decision that you can make when you're going through a crisis. I feel like I'm going through a mountain or a valley, but one option that we do have today, one option that is available to you, just as we sang at 9:30, is to boldly praise God in the midst of our problems, to boldly step out and declare that God, circumstance, you will not overcome, defeat, you will not win. I'm going to praise God in the midst of every single battle and storm that I'm going through, and I'm going to declare that you are the God and the Lord of Lords over my life. Let's pray together before we get into four points today. Dear Jesus, we just declare that You are the God of our lives, Lord. I just thank you for today. Thank you for this amazing group of people. Declare the gifts and the talents that are on every single person in this room, Lord. Lord, we pray that they'll be put to great use for your kingdom, Lord, and we just declare it today. We thank you, and we just give you all the honor and all the praise. Amen. Amen. I honestly think the people with the biggest problems at Life Church are parents. When I think of the problems related to parenting, it's endless. Probably the biggest crisis in our household at the moment, and I've got an 11-month-old here right now in the Richards household, is we've lost the little clip that holds the dummy to Sabella's shirt. Now, for some reason, we must have bought in the last year, we must have bought 30 dummies. But when you need to find one at 3 a.m. in the morning, the chances of finding one within Sabella's room is impossible. Now, I've got up at 3 a.m. and you're in like the worst, and to be fair, Karina gets up a lot more than me. But if I get up, the situation's bad. So Sabella's crying and screaming and it's 3 a.m. and you've got the little torch on your phone and you're like, you're on your hands and knees. Now, I'm like praying in tongues at this time, trying to find out, but I can tell you, it's not like a godly tongue. It's like coming out, the Holy Spirit's coming. I want to find this dummy, but I'm not happy. I recently, that's our biggest parenting problem. Another big parenting problem, I was on a flight recently with a friend on the longest, currently the longest flight in the world from London to Perth. It's a long flight, 17 hours. And we got on the flight and I was right near me, there was like a family that had two kids, like literally 8 months and maybe two. And I'm just like dreading the 17 hours ahead. But I'm, as a parent, actually secretly a little bit, because I wasn't traveling with my kids, a little bit happy. I'm like, how are you going to handle this situation? How are you going to do? I'm looking for advice. Like, so when your child melts down, what am I going to do? But as parents, no one judges another parent. I'm not sitting there on the flight when the two-year-old's chucking a tantrum going, oh, that's a bad parent right there. If only they'd got their child down for a nap. If only they'd fed them at the right time. You don't do that as parents. No one does. It's called a two-year-old, and sometimes they have tantrums, and sometimes they're on a flight for 17 hours. But honestly, in life, sometimes I think that with our problems, we think that they're unique to us, that we get into situations that we honestly believe are unique to us, but they're not. Our situation to how we respond to problems is unique to us, and that is what is in control. But if we did a survey of the room today, all of our problems are common problems. They're just different. They're just at different scales, different ages, different timing. But we all have common problems, just as parents have common problems with their children. The difference between our problems is that some people know how to turn a problem into praise and to get through the circumstance. I'm using my voice and I'll pray and just praise no matter what. But some people get quiet when a problem comes and actually retreat. So if you're taking any points, if you're taking any notes today, my first point today, and we'll go look back at verse 17, number one, is that praise puts me in a position to see God. And we're going to go through 4 points. Praise puts me in a position to see God. Did you notice the first thing that God said to Jehoshaphat? He says, position yourselves, stand still, stop, position yourself to see the victory, position yourself and listen to see me. It's the reason I got the tennis racket here. I'll see if I can balance it with the mic. But I grew up playing a lot of tennis, sometimes better than other times. But I learned at an early age the importance of being in the ready position when you played tennis. So I started playing tennis when I was like 7, but by the age of 10, any decent tennis player knows how to get into the ready position. So you pretty much have a routine. Let's pretend that there's someone down there ready to serve. And you'd have a routine. I might be mucking around with my strings, or I won't do it because I've got a mic, but I'd whack my racket like onto my hand. And you're almost getting ready to go for the next point. then your opponent's ready to serve, and my ready position with one hand, I'd have two hands on the racket. My ready position was down like this. You see Hewitt doing it. Two hands on the racket. And literally from this point, from my ready position, I've got three options depending on what's coming towards me with the ball. I've got three options. I can either attack if the ball is short, so I can move out. And actually, when you attack, you move forward into a position like this. I had the opportunity to defend and go back. So defend, you just literally rock back and I defend the return of serve. Or you have the opportunity to neutralize. Now, when you neutralize, just literally stay down and then you'd literally move laterally to get to the next shot. But no matter what came at me, I was ready because I was in the ready position to do either attack, neutralize, or defend. I wonder what position you're in today. Are you ready to take hold of what God has for your life? Are you ready to attack? Are you ready to defend? Are you ready to neutralize? Have you ever noticed that negative people love being around negative people? You've rolled over to your circumstance. Come join me. Let's go. Let's go hang out. Let's have a coffee. But you also notice, and Ben and Emily are like this, and that's why I love hanging out with them. Have you always also noticed that worshipers and people that are positive love to hang around other positive people? Because they see the value in lifting each other up. And the position that you're in is so important to where you can take your faith. It's going to be pretty tricky from a position of negativity to reach people in North Lakes or in Stafford or in Chermside to come along to this location. But if you can just decide, despite my circumstance, I'm in a ready position to praise God, praise puts me in a position to see God. Last tennis analogy before we do point two is 2017. Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal played in the final of the Australian Open, and literally it sold out in minutes. People were buying tickets for ridiculous amounts of money. The match was so popular that we literally had to start selling tickets to another court, just so people could be in the presence and the atmosphere of the match. They couldn't even see the court at all. Couldn't see the match. But they just wanted to get to Melbourne Park to be in the vicinity of this match. And I got thinking this week, and they're paying tickets to say I was there. I wonder if we bought a ticket this week to get into the presence of God, to say, I can't even see right now a victory. I don't even know what's going to happen, but I know that if I can get into the presence of God and into your vicinity with the right people, that is going to literally make a shift in my life. Point two is praise sets up an ambush on my problems. You might have some problems today. I've got some too. I could reel them off. We've got some sickness in our family and all of them. Everyone here has a problem. But how about we start giving our problems a bigger problem? And that problem is God. That's what happened with Jehoshaphat. How about we stand here to go, so you have cancer? What about God? Got some anxiety? What about a peace that surpasses all understanding? You got some health issues? What about a miracle working God? Let's serve our problems a bigger problem. Or when you start to give your problems, that's what happened in these verses. So Moab and Mount Seir and Ammon, all those armies, they started to turn on each other when faced with the problem of God. The Bible says, and it was our theme verse last year at Life Church, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord that we can advance. And I want to encourage someone here today. I don't know what your problem is, but I know a bigger problem for that problem. And that problem is God. And let's start to declare that whenever a problem comes into our life, it's like, problem you will not overcome. Stress, you're not going to even enter my body on this. I serve a God that's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and can overcome. He literally uttered the creation into being. So my problem is no match to the bigness of God. Third point today, still out of this same verse, is that praise reminds me of who I am and who God is. And there's a big difference to that. So when I start to worship God, And I don't do this all the time. I'm not going to pretend that I'm that spiritual. I'm not just walking around praising God all the time. I'd like to. But when you start to worship God, something shifts in your spirit. I know it does for me. Something shifts. All of a sudden, it's a lot harder to go, "Oh, mate, you're driving me insane today." Or, "Karina, why are we even arguing about that?" Something shifts when you step into the presence of God and you begin to worship. Our God, sometimes I think it's easy to forget who God is. That I know who I am, but I know who God is. And I want to just quickly remind you today of a quick list of who God is as we go through our problems. And I think I've put some here. This is literally a list of who God is. The Lord is my banner. Literally, banner means to go out in front of the army. So literally, Jehoshaphat. Let's raise our banner. We're going to praise God despite the circumstance. The Lord is my banner. The Lord God Almighty, the Most High God, my Master, the Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord that heals. The Lord is there. The Lord is our righteousness. He's the Lord who sanctifies you. He's the everlasting God. He's the Lord who provides. He's the Lord of peace. He's the Lord of hosts. Does anyone believe that that is who God is? That's literally, we're a Bible-based church and that is who God is. I know who I am, but I know that my God is bigger. Praise is that thing that gets you moving, that faith gets you activated. So I grew up in Toowoomba and I used to love playing sport. And for those of you that know Toowoomba, like our training was at 6 a.m. and it was freezing. Like -2, -3 at my house. But I had to literally get up, train, go to school. And so I had to shower before I went to training. And I was the oldest of 5 kids. And for some reason, we didn't have a hot enough. It took so long for the hot water at our house to get activated. You're literally in the shower and you're freezing, like standing there like naked in a vulnerable position. Hot water, come, like let's get activated right now. But sometimes I think it's like that in our praise of God. Like it only takes a few minutes for our faith to get activated and then suddenly that like warm, hot, flowing water, it's like, thank you God, I needed that right now. But sometimes all it takes for our faith to get activated is to step out of our circumstance and to say, God, you are bigger than this situation. I know who I am, but I know who you are. And declare that over your situation. And my final point today, as the team come, is praise reminds me that I'm blessed beyond measure. And I want to close on this point because when I praise God, I remind myself that I cannot even count the blessings that God has given me. And you could do that today. So an example for me is that I've been blessed with 3 great kids. It doesn't mean they're perfect, but it's a blessing. I've been blessed with an amazing wife. I've been blessed with good health. We're all blessed collectively to live in an amazing country where we can declare the name of Jesus and not be persecuted. We're all blessed that we're here this morning, that we can freely name the praise of Jesus. And Jehoshaphat, he probably was not in a situation where he was very, very quick to count the blessings that were on his life in that situation. But God wanted Jehoshaphat to position himself where he could see God move. And remember in those verses that despite the circumstance, Jehoshaphat made a bold decision. He decided to send out a choir of praise in advance to declare the goodness of God and to declare faith to his people. He literally sends out a choir, not even the most buff, ripped guys ready to go and take the heads off of Amon and Mount Seir. He's literally got 13-year-old, you're a good singer, you're in, choir. I'll send out a choir of praise in advance. Angie's leading the army out. And as the choir of praise goes out, literally, Ammon, Mount Seir, and Moab, they all turn on each other. But the part of the story that I want to come back to is that Jehoshaphat comes down after the victory's won. And the Bible says, when we read in verse 24, that for 3 days, they counted the spoils. Think of that, 3 days, 3 full days. They won the victory and they had to go and collect all the gold and all the armor and everything that came with it. And that I just wanted to challenge a few people today that we are blessed beyond measure, and sometimes there's a battle and a fight in front of us, but if you can lift up the name of God in that situation, I'm proclaiming and prophesying today, if you lift up the name of God, you will be counting the blessings, you'll be counting the spoils, like we saw here, for 3 days down the track. And I can't promise you that that day is next week. I can't promise you that that day is in 10 years. I can't even promise you if it's not until eternity that you see that blessing. But if you can just lift up your praise to God, our praise unlocks a blessing that you can't even count. The ultimate spoil, we have to flick through a lot more Bible. 2 Chronicles, if you're just starting to read your Bible, is in the Old Testament. You've got to jump a lot further down into Matthew to read about the ultimate spoil that we have in Jesus, which is eternal life. And I want to very, very simply tell you a story. Jesus has been crucified. He's dead. He's in a tomb. Dead. And there's a big difference between the word dead and the word alive. I remember almost 5 years, it'll be 5 years ago in March, coming up. Sorry, not five, 4 years in March it'll be, that my mum rang me. I'd missed a call from my mum, missed another call, and then I knew by that point that, okay, something's up. My mum's ringing like 3 times in like 2 minutes. There is something going on, or it's in her back pocket and it keeps ringing me. I pick up the phone. My mum is in tears. She can hardly speak. And now I know something is like seriously wrong. So all I can hear, she starts to tell me, your dad, who I love, I'm very close to my dad. Your dad's had a massive heart attack. As soon as that happened, I think my mum was probably speaking for another 20 seconds, but all I was thinking in my head as a filter is, but is he dead or is he alive? And there's a big difference between those two words. Is he dead or is he alive? And what felt like an eternity for my mum to say about 20 or so seconds into the call, despite everything that's happened, despite the circumstance, your dad's had a massive heart attack, he's currently having massive surgery in the hospital, but he is alive. And suddenly that changes everything. That when Mary and Martha turned up to the tomb to visit their friend who was dead, D-E-A-D, dead in their mind, the stone had been rolled away, and the angel says to Mary and Martha, but who are you looking for? He is alive. He has walked out of this tomb. And I want to encourage you today that there is a huge difference between being your relationship with Jesus being dead and it even flickering to be alive. There's huge hope in Jesus and being alive in His name. For that hope of eternal life, that I want to give you the opportunity that we're going to pray. We're going to pray about 3 things. If you bow your head and shut your eyes, that there, it is so simple to be alive in Jesus, that we have the opportunity to actually meet with the Creator of the universe. So, with every eye shut and every head bowed,